Awesome. So yes, this is the second part of the emotions talk that we gave last week. And if you weren't here last week, what we talked about, if you pull out your little your huddle outline, when you look at those primary emotions, those are all things that we cannot control. Those are all things that someone, you know, comes up against a bear, you're going to have fear. If someone really close to you dies, you're going to be sad. Even we walked through Scripture and saw where even Jesus had all these emotions as well. There's nothing wrong with emotions. God gives them to us. But then look at that list of the secondary emotions. Yes, Jesus was angry. Yes, Jesus was sad. Even talks about in the Bible where God was disgusted. But you didn't see Jesus being resentful, violent, anxious, depressed, you know, outraged. So what's the difference then between those primary and those secondary emotions? And we talked about last week the negative ones. And I think it's easy for guys especially to be like, yeah, we have emotions. They're not that big of a deal. And yet, when the stock market starts to get down a little bit, everyone starts complaining and all you hear is fear. We have an election coming up and everyone's scared. You know, either Jesus is on the throne or he's not. Yes, it's important. We need to honor them. We need to pray for them. But I don't serve the guy in the White House. I serve the guy on the throne.
Amen.
And my fear isn't going to be existent when I take it to the Lord instead of taking it to the polls, which I will, but that doesn't help. So last week we talked a lot about the negative ones. And again, when things are going good, we're all fine. Well, what happens when your grandson or your son gets called out of baseball and he was safe? You know? All right? What happens when someone that you really, really love gets bad news about a test, a health test, and they have cancer or they have something that's terminal? Again, nothing wrong with these primary emotions, but what do we do when they come to us? And we're going to end with what Jesus did when he experienced those and what he did with them. But today we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're also going to talk about how positive emotions can also get us off the rails. And to be honest, I was just talking to my staff at Bridges, and I said, I'm actually a stronger Christian if I'm in the corner and a guy's got a gun at me than if I'm comfortable and on vacation. I'm more dangerous to myself when things are going well than when things are going bad. And really kind of think about that. Some people, when things go bad, their relationship with the Lord, they start complaining and whining, where is he? Where is he? But some of us, and I'm in this boat, my relationship with the Lord gets distracted or gets off the rails when things are going good. Look what I've done. Look how things are going. Look who I don't need anymore. You know? And I say that all in jest because I would never have the audacity to say that to the Lord, but that's what my actions say. That's what I sometimes say with my life because I'm quick to neglect him. So when you look at joy, it's the bottom one. Again, last week we talked about the positive or the negative ones. Today we're talking about the positive ones. But look at that first big one right there in the secondary emotions, pride. And again, maybe you're a fearful guy that leads to anxiety. Maybe you're a sad guy that leads to depression. Maybe you're an angry guy that leads to violence. For me, my biggest pitfall is sometimes when things are going good and God sends me joy, I twist that and I turn it into pride. So me and JC are each going to share some personal examples of how we've gotten ourselves in some pickles.
Thank you, Travis. And what I'm going to share here today has less to do with a particular circumstance as it does my nature. And some of you, I'm sure, can identify with that. As he says, well, last week, first of all, I talked a little bit about how I've dealt with anxiety. And for anybody who has dealt with anxiety, and depending on to what extreme, for me, the end of 2023, early 2024, I felt that to such an extent that I thought and felt like I was dying. And so, you know, that's a circumstance where I really, really needed the Lord. I prayed more profusely than I ever had before in my life. I got into the Word and dug into the Word and really was searching for the heart of God and who He was and truly who he and what He meant and means to me. And so that on the flip of that, the joyful moments in my life, I tend to operate more in the area of comfort. And I find myself doing that more often. I'll talk a little bit about how I've developed in my spiritual maturity here in a moment, but I operate in the area of comfort. And doesn't it go against all logic that when I've been doing so well and walking and talking with the Lord, and He's blessed me tremendously, and He's pulled me out of some difficult situations and circumstances, that I would ever get out of the routine of talking with Him, taking the time to pray, taking the time to get in the Word? And sometimes I do. Sometimes I do that. I find myself feeling good, and I find myself kind of drifting away from that regular conversation and getting into the Word. And we have to be very careful about that. I have to be very careful about that. In those moments, it's easy for me to plop down on the couch, either by myself or with my family, and watch a movie with the family that might have some curse words in it, might have some rated R explicit scenes in it, that might have some nudity or something in it. That's not something that we should be allowing into our spirit. But sometimes when we feel good and we're in that place of comfort, we allow ourselves to indulge in some of those things, and that's not good. Sometimes I'll get in the car. And most of the time, it's either on K-Love or WGNR Moody Radio, Christian Talk Radio. But sometimes I can click it over to Q95, and I love Bob and Tom and their laughs. But come on, everybody in here has listened to that content, and it isn't what we should be allowing into our spirit. So in my spiritual maturity I've developed over the years, I do a much better job of saying in those moments, hey, I need to snap back right now. What am I doing? What am I listening to? What am I watching? And I'm able to get back into my, I hate to call it a routine, but truly that's what it is. Isn't any relationship, whether it's with us, a face-to-face earthly relationship or with our Heavenly Father, doesn't that require some practice? And it's the same thing. Getting back into that mode of practicing relationship with the Lord. So that's what this journey is truly about. Our relationship with Christ is about getting back on the path and taking steps towards Jesus. And what have you found? You find that He meets you in that moment. He meets you at those points of need, and even goes further and beyond that.
And isn't it so awesome of God to know exactly what we were going to go through, and He gives us His Word to show us that how to handle these things? Last week we looked at lots of different times when the people of Israel let their emotions make them emotional. And today I have some more examples of how guys have used positive emotions to make them emotional. And emotional then led to some pretty big sins in all these cases. Look at the 10 lepers that got healed by Christ. One of them comes back, "Thank you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Wasn't there 10 that I healed?" You know, isn't it just like us when we have a problem to run to the Lord, and then after He fixes it, to just run off on our own? "I'm all good now. You gave me just what I needed. Bye. Thanks. or not thanks. Now I'm where I need to be. Forget you. I mean, that's really what the nine are doing. And we can blame the nine, but guys, we're the nine. How many times has God done something for us? And we were on our knees and we were praying. And when we get it, we're gone. Look at the oldest son in the prodigal story. You know, he had all the resources he needed. He had his dad. Everything was good. He wasn't eating food with the pigs. He didn't lose all his money. The young one might have had STD or all kinds of stuff with the stuff that he was doing. He didn't have any of that. And yet he had no contentment. And he was jealous of his brother. And he's whining when he was already in his dad's house. He had everything. Look at Deuteronomy 8. So this is right after, again, back to those folks in Numbers who last week were doing all kinds of stuff and complaining and whining, and God was about to wipe them off the earth. Well, now they're getting ready to go to the promised land. And in Deuteronomy at the beginning, you should read through that and see how many times God says, remember, or don't forget, or I warn you. He's trying to help them out because he knows our nature. He made us. You know, he knows our nature. And he's telling them in Deuteronomy 8, please don't forget that this promised land, these things that I have done, please don't forget that. Lest you think that you achieve this on your own, with your own wealth, with your own strength, and your own might. If you don't remember me, then you're going to make that switch in your brain to think, look what we've done with our money. Look what we've done with our strength. Look how we wiped these people out with our might. And he's saying, no, 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 no. I'm the orchestrator of it all. Alpha to Omega. I did all this. If you remember that, you're good. If you forget that, you're in trouble. And then look at David. You know, there are so many amazing examples of David. If you were a little boy that was a shepherd and your dad asked you to go fight a 9-foot guy, wouldn't you be scared to death? David wasn't. Wouldn't you be fearful? Wouldn't you be angry and sad? Yeah, we'd have a lot of emotions. David, he just rose up, grabbed some rocks, and took care of business.
Hallelujah.
But when he got older, got a little set in his ways. And it was springtime when everyone was supposed to be out fighting wars. And he was really comfortable. You know, and I, again, just what I said earlier, I can relate to David. I'm worse when I'm comfortable than when I'm uncomfortable. When I'm uncomfortable, I got my ears tentative to what God wants to do. When things are good, watch out. Well, instead of fighting, he's just hanging out, probably bored, probably watched through all of his Netflix, and he was done with all the series that he was trying to watch, and then took a peek over the neighbor's wall. You know? Well, that looks nice. I don't got anything else to do. And it led to a man after God's own heart committing adultery, which let's unpack that a little bit. He had to break his wife's heart. His kids, there was bloodshed in his family for the rest of the generations. Well, yeah, when a dad does something like that, it hurts the kids. Then to cover it up, he becomes a liar and a murderer. Now he's affected another family. All because his emotions of, I'm joyful, I'm comfortable, turn into pride. I need that. I want that. I'm going to get that because it's all about my enjoyment. We have to be extremely, extremely careful that our emotions don't turn us into emotional, which then usually turns us into sin and destruction and a path that we do not want to take. Last week I shared about how Bridges, we lost the building and all that anger and sadness and fear and all that stuff came. Well, we overcame that through God and His strength. And then about 12 years later, after everyone telling us how good a job we did and how special you are and how 800 kids come to your program, and we had some awards for in top non-for-profits in Indiana and best youth agency in North Central and blah, 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 blah. You start to believe it. You start to get comfortable. And a ministry that was so reliant on God because we didn't have a building, we had to rely on Him, quickly became, we know what we're doing. We're pretty good at this. And we became a really, really good after-school program that was doing a little bit of ministry instead of a ministry that happened to be an after-school program. And God humbled us in our pride. He humbled us in our comfort. And we were this tree that had had roots and had grown and was fruitful. And He did not prune us. He chopped the whole tree off. And He said, "You're starting over." And it was right around COVID. It was about 4 years ago. And what we needed to do was turn back to that first love. So whether emotions are negative or positive, it doesn't matter. You're going to have both. They're good. God gives them to you. But you have to take them, both of them, good and bad, take them right to the feet of Christ, take them to His heart, and stay centered in Him, or else you can get off the rails. JC's going to give us some more solutions or practical steps of what to do with these emotions.
Bottom line, gentlemen, is it's always best to turn to Jesus. And turning to Jesus, I want to mention six ways I have here on paper today. And there's plenty more, but six ways that He helps us with our emotions and channel them properly. The first one is prayer life. This might seem and sound a little repetitive, but our prayer life is so important. We should be constantly going to the Lord, talking with the Lord, sharing and spilling our heart to the Lord. I heard recently we should either always be in the middle of prayer, just ending a prayer, or on the verge of another prayer. And it's so true. We should be in constant communication with the Lord, guarding our hearts and what we allow in our spirit. The second one is reading the Word. Reading the Bible is a vital part of our walk with Jesus. Jesus is literally the Word. When tempted in the wilderness, the devil was trying to tempt Jesus. Jesus said, "Men should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He was talking about Himself. That's powerful. Accountability. Accountability partners. Who is that in your life? That could be one of your closest friends. Could be your friend for decades. But sometimes an accountability partner is just that, an accountability partner. It doesn't have to be a close friend. Maybe it's somebody that you obviously know, but have developed such a trust with that person that you're able to share with them your secrets, things that really nobody else knows. But the difference between that person and anybody else is that they can help you in times of need. They can be present for you. They can keep you from doing those wrong things that you might want to do. When that temptation just seems just a little bit too much, more than you can bear, that person can be present for you in those times. Nature and exercise. Nature can help us escape and enjoy God's creation and burn off some steam. And exercise helps us burn off some steam. But the last one I wanted to share with you that really, I love this one the most because it takes the focus off of ourselves and it puts it more on other people, is when we practice our gifts. it doesn't only help us to channel our emotions positively and constructively, it gives us a chance to share our faith with other people. How many of you in the room that can do a thing really well and have been able to put that gift on display in front of other people, have had other people come up to you and tell you how much they appreciate you being able to do that thing and putting that gift on display? Oftentimes, I don't know if you can identify with this, but oftentimes when a person, for whatever one reason or another, hasn't been given that particular gift and may not have been able to achieve a particular thing that you've been able to, let's just say I'm a basketball guy, me and Travis are basketball guys, shooting a basketball. I've had people be kind enough to come up and tell me, hey man, you were shooting that ball really well tonight. There was something that moved them and gave them enough to come and say something to me about that and to share that with me and to bless me by telling me that. But how much more of that is an opportunity to share my faith with that person, to tell them where that gift came from? Why am I able to do that particular thing the way that I'm able to do it? It doesn't come off my strength, it comes off the strength of the Lord and help him helping me to develop that very thing. So there's a moment that you can tell them where that gift came from and how and why you're able to do it. And I'm so thankful for opportunities like that. In Romans and in 1 Peter, it tells us we should use our gifts in a way that fits our faith and to use our gifts to serve others. Being in service to others and taking the focus off of ourselves often do wonders for keeping our emotions in check. Let that marinate for a second. Putting other people first help us keep our emotions in check. And in an act of obedience to what the Lord has asked us to do, by showing love to one another, that helps us a tremendous amount.
All right, as we wrap up, I hope that you're not hearing us saying not to have emotions. We're not saying, don't be sad, don't be angry, don't be joyful. We saw where Jesus was angry at what the church had become and he flipped over a table. We saw that Jesus was sad when his friend Lazarus died. We saw when Jesus had joy. We are emotional. That is okay. That is great. God gives us those emotions. But what we are saying is you have to take those emotions and give them back to him. And when you're in those emotions, you have to go to him first. Look at those secondary emotions. Look at all those things. Some of them aren't that bad, but a lot of them are not words that we would want to be described by our loved ones. And if you really want to know how you're doing emotionally, ask your kids. Ask your wife. Ask your accountability partner. Hey man, when really bad things happen and I get emotional, what's my tone after that? What's my words after that? What are my actions after that? Because again, we're not saying that the emotions are wrong, but what does it look like after that? And ask those people, because they'll give you an honest honest look of what they see from you, especially your kids. But as I was looking at those secondary emotions, I thought, what is the opposite of this? The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. And you can't go out there and walk out those doors and say, I'm going to be more patient today. Yes, I am. Watch. Or pray for patience. You know that doesn't work. You pray for patience, God's going to throw a bunch of storms at you and say, I'm going to build patience. Gentleness. You can't just say, oh, I'm just going to be gentle today. Okay. Be gentle when someone cusses you out or does something to you that is unjust or wrong. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So today, ask yourself, what spirit am I carrying? Is it my fleshy, natural spirit? When I get poked, I get scared. When I get poked, I get violent. When someone does something, I get something. Somebody does something good, I get resentful or I get jealous. Or is it the Holy Spirit that I'm operating in? Someone else gets a compliment, and I say, I'd like to add to that. Instead of, they get all the compliments. Where's mine? Or something really sad happens in your life. Instead of turning to something negative, you're consistent with the conversations and the people that you love. And they say, man, Dad, you're treating me just like you did last week, and we just got some terrible news about Mom or about your parents or something. It's like, yeah, that's not me, son. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus inside of us can do those things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. So we're going to end up or stop here. We're going to pray. Then please have some discussion at your tables. Be open and honest about your emotions and what we can do to make sure we're operating in the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of the flesh. Lord God, you give us emotions. You made us. You created us. You knew it. And yet, you also give us such good advice and wisdom. And you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit that says, hey, I gave you emotions, but I also want to help you manage those emotions. Because that's just the kind of Father you are. You're a good king. You're a good father. You're a good shepherd. So thank you for the times when you've helped us manage them. And Lord, we pray and plead and ask that you continue to help us manage them. Whether we're the guys that get a little fired up when bad things happen or we get a little too comfortable when good things happen, either way, I just pray that we would be centered on you and that we take all of our emotions right to your feet and we walk with you in step with your ways and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.